Vincent, first of all, tell us a little about Ellen. It's Ellen Mariani, correct?
Yes, that's right. And by the way, I'm in Massachusetts.
Tell us a little bit about who Ellen Mariani is.
Okay, well, she lost her husband, Louis Neil Mariani, on September 11th. He was a passenger on one of the planes. She's been fighting in the courts to get a hearing, to get a trial, to find some justice, and the courts have been just trying to just shut her down, as they have shut down every single one of these cases. There were about 100 families, like Ellen, where they lost a loved one on September.
And just out of curiosity, how much has the U.S. government thrown at families of victims of 9/11?
I believe the Victims Compensation Fund, it had like $6 or $7 billion, something like that, with a B.
$7 billion.
Yeah, so there's quite a few families that have. But when you get that, when you take the money, you have to sign something that you're not going to sue in court. So it's like hush money. It's like take the money and shut up and go away. And there were about 100 families that said, no, you know, we want to have a trial. We want to find out what happened. We want to hold the guilty people accountable. We want a trial because you know, she never even got the body back from her husband. It's like you don't know what happened, you know, and she
exactly.
wanted. Yeah. And first of all, all these cases went through a single courtroom. That's for Judge Alvin Hellerstein, Federal District Court for the Southern District of New York.
Vincent, we're hearing you right now, so if you could back up just a little bit there.
Okay.
We're hearing you good. Go ahead.
I don't know what you mean by back up.
Back off. Just move away a little bit away from the microphone now.
Oh, okay.
There you go.
Okay. So they all went through this.
Okay, so yeah, basically there's about 100 families that actually took the United States government to court, and it went through a single court, Mr. Hellerstein.
Right.
Mr. Hellerstein, you've learned over the years, is really, from all indications, an Israeli agent.
Well, it certainly looks that way. One of the things that happened more recently in this case was that Ellen discovered some connections between some actual connections between Judge Hellerstein and some of the defendants, the Israeli defendants in this case. There were several Israeli defendants, and her Judge Hellerstein's son, Joseph Hellerstein, worked for a law firm called Amet Palak and Matalan in Israel, and that law firm represented Better Online Solutions. That's a company called Better On Solutions. They make RFID chips. And one of the directors, one of the guys on the board of directors there was a guy named Boaz Harel. And his family has a majority ownership stake in ICTS. And that's one of the defendants in Ellen's case. And not only that, that company, ICTS, is the parent company of Huntley USA. And that was the passenger screening company that allegedly led all these hijackers onto the planes. And so so Judge Hellerstein has these connections to the defendants, and then he improperly dismissed the defendants, these Israeli defendants, and so it looks really starts to look bad. And plus, he's involved in all these Jewish organizations. His wife is involved in, I think, an organization called Ahmed. His sister, moved to Israel, and his son, as I just said, is working in Israel. He's got all these connections. Obviously, there's an appearance of impropriety when there's Israeli defendants in the case. So yes, there's some real issues there.
And from what I understand, Mrs. Mariani, she has gone through a couple lawyers. Can you describe what happened with the first round of lawyers that she had?
Yeah, I don't necessarily know all the details, but you're right. It's been something like 13 lawyers, and it just seems like one after another, they're all compromised. They're all working against her. And that's partly how this situation evolved, is one of her own attorneys was trying to get her to, was working with, appears to have been working with the opposing attorneys to kind of trick her into agreeing to renounce her position as executrix of the estate, where she had more power, and agreeing instead to have this attorney, John Ramsmeyer, take over as a fiduciary. And she was just kind of tricked in that.
John Ramsmeyer, is he Korean?
No, he's not. I don't think so. You're joking. Okay.
Yeah, I'm joking.
Yeah.
You know, you hear a lot about, I just want to throw an aside real quick, Vince, and we'll get right back. But you know, you hear a lot about the wiretapping going on inside of America, you know, all this wiretapping. And one of the reasons you wiretap is to do exactly what you're describing, Vincent, is to get the right lawyers to come in, play the game. You've got all the intelligence you need because you're privy to all the information within the discussions.
Yeah.
And you can always stack the deck against the people that you're going after because you have all the intelligence.
Your side, their side.
And it makes it very unfair, you know, to try to put together a good legal case for yourself when they're stacking the deck against you and bringing in what are essentially plants.
Well, within the legal team. Yeah, well, I hear you, and I mean,
that's what it sounds like is going on here. Is she keeps having plant after plant within her legal team to?
Dennis, can you hear me? Dennis?
Yeah. Yeah, okay. I think we lost, but we're back.
No. Are you? Can you hear me?
Yeah, you're fine. We lost the network for a split second there.
Okay. I think it's very troubling. These things that are going on in this country, they're starting to spy on everyone, and it's very disturbing. But the attorney she has now, Bruce Lichty, he's a good guy. He's been fighting for her for something like 5 years, and I've communicated with him quite a bit, and he's a good guy. He's fighting for her, and that's why they're trying to do everything they can to shut her case. Well, that's one of the reasons why they're trying to shut her case down. And they just recently issued a very, very hostile order, really hostile order. They called him anti-Semitic. They said he was.
I was reading about that, Vincent. I mean, where does this fit into a court of law? Since when did the sensibilities of this rabidly racist society all of a sudden become part of our court of law?
As a matter of fact, Bruce actually addressed that point. He said he's done a search of all federal in a database of all. I guess it was all federal cases, or maybe I don't know if it included state cases. He says it's never happened before. There was one case in which the guy it's stated that he was anti-Semitic. In that case, he was sanctioned. He was supposedly a national security threat. Other than that, there's no other case where this has happened, where an attorney has been branded as anti-Semitic like this, and it's having real repercussions on his career. On his the bar association has stopped forwarding him clients. He's getting financially really pressed. They're just doing everything they can to shut him out. They're doing dirty tricks, and there have been so many dirty tricks in this case. It's just ridiculous. I mean, one of them, there's this elephant in the room, and this recent decision, as well as all the other decisions, they don't mention it. Ramsmeyer has admitted that he was representing the insurance companies who are supposed to pay out to Ellen and her stepdaughter Lauren Peters. He's representing the other side at the same time he's supposedly settling the case for them. That's a total
total conflict of interest by
any. It's a huge, and they won't mention. They didn't even mention this order is so hostile. They accuse him of filing these frivolous briefs and stuff, but they can't mention this elephant in the room. That's not frivolous. This is new, and this is very, very important information, and they won't even mention it. You know, it's this whole system. I was thinking earlier today how Americans tend to think that, you know, everything in this country is the best. You know, we have the best legal system. We have the best, you know, educational system. This legal system, what's been going on in this case is so backwards. I mean, it's like it's what you would expect from a barbaric country. There have been so many improprieties. When the judge approved, this is just one of many examples, when he approved the settlement, and this was over Ellen's objections, but when he approved it, this is Judge Hellerstein again, the case wasn't even in his court. It was in the appeals court. He didn't even have jurisdiction. Only one court can have jurisdiction at a time. It was in the appeals court, and he approved it. And there's all this stuff going on. They're just throwing the rules out the window. And they've used these improper tactics to shut down every single case. Ellen is the last one, and she's basically hanging on by her fingernails. We did do an appeal to the U.S. Supreme Court, a petition for writ of certiorari. That's what it's called. And it was denied, but they didn't give the reason. And one of the reasons why they could have done it, I'm getting into a different, well, this is a different topic here. Well, it's a related issue, is that the recent order that came, it's May 15th, 2013, was actually the final determination of an earlier order that they had issued on in June of 2012. They said, you need to give us reasons. This is what, in so many words, it's called an order to show cause. They said to Bruce Lichty, you need to explain to us why we should not sanction you. And then he gave his reasons, but then they didn't give a reply. And so he couldn't, there was a deadline and he to file his appeal to the U.S. Supreme Court, but he couldn't do it because this thing was unfinished. But he finally did file it, but they may have denied that appeal simply because the lower court issue was unfinished. So in other words, what I'm saying is their procedural mechanisms sort of prevented him from getting a proper appeal to the U.S. Supreme Court. Now, he may try to do it again. He's talking about possibly doing the appeal again because now it would not be procedurally defective. But you see, what I'm saying is that they're kind of monkeying around with stuff in so many ways to prevent him from getting, to prevent Ellen from getting any kind of a fair trial here. And what happened most recently, listen to this, he filed a petition for rehearing after this very vicious order dated May 15th, 2013. He filed a petition for rehearing on bank, which means I want a full panel of justices to hear this, not just the two justices who heard the last hearing. And the clerk, her name is Catherine Wolf, that's a Jewish name, she refused to let him file it. So he had to file a whole separate motion just to try to file this petition to file to get a rehearing. So it's just so much monkey business here. By the way, I want to give the website. Is that okay?
Yeah, please go ahead. Go ahead.
Okay, it's MarianiLawsuit.com. 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 My computer has been screwing up this morning, and I don't know what's going on with that, so I have not been able to update it, but it'll be within the next 24 hours. I'll have some of the newer stuff on there.
Now, the big issue, what I'm kind of curious here now, you've done this, you're basically a freelancer here.
Yeah, I'm going completely on a volunteer basis. Nobody's paying me anything. I'm just trying to help out because I was trying to help expose what happened in 9/11.
Now, are you still working on raising funds for Ms. Mariani?
Well, we hadn't been doing that for a while because the purpose of the funding was to get the petition for writ of certiorari, the U.S. Supreme Court, filed, and we did that. But recently a couple of people have donated when they heard what happened, and I know that Bruce and Ellen are really getting squeezed financially because of there's a bunch of stuff that's being thrown at him. There's a motion to revoke his pro hac vici status in the New Hampshire court, and that would be devastating to Ellen's case if that occurs. And he's having to respond to other things, and they are being very much squeezed. I think I mentioned this. I don't remember if I mentioned this earlier or not. The Bar Association has stopped giving him referrals, so he stopped getting work. It's like they're closing in on him from various sides. So if anybody would like to help Ellen and Bruce, they would really appreciate it. And if we can get enough money, I think that he may well do a second appeal, another attempt at a petition for writ of certiorari to the U.S. Supreme Court. So if people want to appeal, they can just go to the website, go to the donations page, and there's a way to do that. It would be very much appreciated. I know that they're really feeling.
Yeah, and that's at, go ahead and give the website one more time.
MarianiLawsuit.com, MarianiLawsuit.com, MarianiLawsuit.com. And you can either donate online, you can also send in checks, and there's an address. The address is given there, but I'll give it real quickly here if that's okay.
Sure.
It's okay, Ellen Mariani Legal Defense Fund. Oh, the checks, any checks or money order should be made out to the Ellen Mariani Legal Defense Fund. And then it's P.O. Box 1284. P.O. Box 1284. Greenfield. G-R-E.
Okay. P.O. Box, what city, state, and all that fun stuff?
Yeah, Greenfield, Massachusetts, 01032. I'm sorry, 01302. Greenfield, Massachusetts, 01302, USA. I know that many of your listeners are in the Middle East.
So, well, no, they're mostly California, though.
Oh, okay, okay,
not
okay.
California, I'm in the United States. I mean, okay. We've got people from all over the world. Okay. Now, what brought to really raised my interest in your story was this sanctioning. I don't know how a Hellerstein and basically these Jewish lawyers can get off on sitting there saying this is all anti-Semitic. What does this have to do with the rule of law?
It's ridiculous. Bruce did file a motion, I believe. I can't even get onto my website because of my I don't know what's going on with the computer, but I believe it was April 9th. I've got a list of many of the recent motions that were filed, briefs were filed, and you can get them on the website. But I believe the date is April 19th, 2012. He did show these connections that I mentioned earlier of Judge Hellerstein's son through this law firm, Ahmed Palak and Madelon, to the Israeli defendants in this case. And he also, Bruce's motion also pointed out that Hellerstein did have was very active in the Israeli community, in Jewish organizations and organizations advocating for Israel, and his wife was, and his sister is over there, and his son is over there. So all Bruce was saying, he put this in very diplomatic, very gentle terms. And he was just saying there's an appearance of impropriety, just an appearance of a conflict of interest. And he was also and they're turning that into – they're using this horrific language of saying he used these deeply offensive personal slurs. That's what this recent order says.
That's typically what they do when you hit them right on the core issue where you've actually nailed them. In order to deflect them from the fact that nailed them, they use these tactics. They always bring them out.
Yeah, that's my opinion, too, is I think they're just trying to shut him up and trying to shut down Ellen's case. And you know, when a federal appeals court does this, it's very significant. Immediately, the New York Times, New York Law Review, and one other, two other newspapers, they immediately picked up on the story, and they were calling him, they were repeating the allegations, he's anti-Semitic and all this. These were every statement he made was backed up by public records, all the connections of his son, and the statements, nobody disputes anything he said. Everything he said was true. And again, he just put it in very mild terms. He's just said there's an appearance of a conflict of interest. And as he explained in his recent motion, the reason why he was raising these issues was to explain why Judge Hellerstein would be ignoring this incredible elephant in the room, this incredible issue that Ramsmeyer is representing the defendants. I mean, that is such a huge and fundamental.
Can you imagine?
Yeah.
But that's guys, put that in perspective. You've got the attorney fighting for your side as representing the person you're fighting against.
That's exactly right. And they have a direct financial interest in that the settlement amount should be minimized because they're the insurance companies who would want to have to pay. I mean, this is a complete conflict of interest. And so Bruce Leachty, the attorney, Ellen Mariani's attorney, was just saying, you know, maybe this explains why he's turning a blind eye to this incredible issue, is that he's got a conflict of interest. He doesn't want to make Israel look bad or something. You know, he didn't say he doesn't want to make Israel look bad, but it could just have created a conflict of interest, or at least there's an appearance of a conflict of interest. And a judge is supposed to recuse himself if there's an appearance of a conflict of interest.
Can anything be done against this Hellerstein? I mean, what it sounds to me is Hellerstein is a foreign agent operating inside the U.S. Government. That's what it sounds like. Well, anything be done against this guy?
Can anything
be done to him? I mean,
legally, or
whatever. I mean, can social media bring this guy out? I mean, can anything be done? Because what it really looks like, based on this type of ruling, is he's nothing more than a foreign intelligence operative of the Israeli government.
Well, it does look like that. I think the only thing that I know of that would help is getting publicity, and I think this show might help. And there have been a number of alternative media, not mainstream media, but alternative media articles which have been exposing it. And you can get to them on the website by the way, MarianiLawsuit.com. But other than exposing it, I mean, we have just a major problem in this country. You know, it's not just him. Then they go to the appeals court, and one of the judges is Susan Carney. Well, she's married to Lincoln Kaplan, who's very active in the Jewish community, and he's an editor on the New York Times. And remember, the New York Times article came out the same day as the as the order, the May 15, 2013 order. So it's like, it seems pretty apparent to me that the judge, Susan Carney, is obviously talking to her husband on the New York Times.
Exactly. We're going into a break
okay,
here.
Okay,
all right. Batch Inside the Eye Live, intelligent media for the politically aware. Guys, I'm going to be rebooting my network here. So I hope to be back quick enough. So I'm going to cut off. Vincent, we'll be right back. I'm going to go reset the network here because I lost probably 70% of what you said, and it's hard to do a show that way. So I'll be right back, everybody. We'll be right back right after.
Okay.
Good morning, everybody. This is Kat. I'm Dennis's producer. And unfortunately, he went to reboot his network, and he hasn't come back yet. So I'm going to reintroduce Vincent Gillespie, who is his guest. And Vincent, if you wouldn't mind carrying on where you left off, when Fetch is done, he'll join us on the call.
Sure. I hope, wish him the best in getting back online. Yeah, there's some more facts I can talk about here. There's been a number of additional improprieties besides what I talked about earlier. In this case, and the way this case was handled. And let me remind the listeners that I was not able to get to the website today. There's something going on with my computer as well, but I should be able to update it within 24 hours, probably later today. So, like, for the latest briefs and some of the latest stuff, I'll be able to get on there later today. But one of the things that happened was that after Ellen was kind of tricked into giving up her position as executrix of her husband's estate, and this guy Ramsmeyer took over. He was supposed to be a neutral administrator. In the federal court, in Hellerstein's court, Ramsmeyer's attorney, his name was Charles Capass, was awarded $800,000. Now, this is out of the money that Ellen Mariani and her stepdaughter Lauren Peters were supposed to get. That's an enormous sum to pay the lawyers, to pay these lawyers off, and that court didn't even have jurisdiction. That court didn't even have jurisdiction to do it because this was something that was supposed to be handled in, if money was going to be given out, it should have been done in the New Hampshire probate court. But instead, this was again Hellerstein who was giving out that money. It was very improper. And in my opinion, this is just my opinion, is that it was a payoff to Ramsmeyer. I mean, Charles Capass is the attorney who took it, but he gave it to Ramsmeyer. In my opinion, it was a payoff to him for getting Ellen to give up her position, for manipulating Ellen into giving up her position as executrix. So there have been so many things that have been improper like that. Also, if you look at the May 15, 2013 order, that is on the website at this point. You just go to the second post down. They use so much just vociferous language. They said this is anti-Semitism in a raw and ugly form, and Bruce just wanted to use his he was just filing his briefs as a way of giving personal slurs against the court. Just this really very strong language. But if you read the brief, I mean, it's just very mild what he was saying. So this goes back to what Dennis Fetcher was saying, is I think they're just trying to shut him down. They're just trying to shut down Bruce. They're trying to shut down Ellen. And that's what they're doing, in my opinion, what they're doing. The phraseology that they're using the words is just it's just inaccurate. It's untruthful. And they're trying to ruin his career, and it is already having an effect. As I mentioned earlier, the Bar Association has now stopped giving him referrals, and he's getting squeezed financially. I'll also note that if you read the May 15, 2013 order of the court, which, again, is just so hostile towards Bruce and Ellen, you know, and remember, Ellen's just a widow. She's a widow. She's already suffered enough, and they need to slam her like this again. But if you look at it, they cite the April Gallup case repeatedly. They cite that as if this gives them justification issue sanctions against Bruce Lichty. Well, the April Gallup case, let me tell you a little bit what that was about. The April Gallup case, there was a U.S. Army, a woman in the U.S. Army, and she decided to sue the Bush administration, and she accused Bush and his buddies of basically instigating 9/11. That's just a thumbnail sketch. I don't know the details, but it's, in essence, it's something like that. Well, when they got to the appeals court in that case, one of the judges on the, I believe it was the appeals court, and this was the same court, by the way, Second Circuit Court of Appeals that's dealing with Ellen Mariani's case, the Second Circuit Federal District Court of Appeals. One of the judges was George Bush's cousin. I mean, if that's not a conflict of interest, and so the attorney was raising this issue, and they sanctioned him for impugning the integrity of the court. All of this is, to the best of my recollection, I might not have a couple details not quite right, but this, I mean, that's obviously, that is a major conflict of interest. So, and they shut him up in that case as a separate case, the April Gallup case, by issuing large financial sanctions against him. So that was improper in and of itself. And now in this case, they're citing that case as justification for them to sanction Ellen Mariani and Bruce Lichty. And by the way, the actual sanctions were relatively little only because the actual costs of Ramsmeyer in this case were quite small, and Ellen and Bruce were charged double sanctions. And by the way, each of them was sanctioned. They were Bruce and Ellen are both required to pay. But at the last line, at the very end of the order, they say we have the power to issue much more. I'm paraphrasing, much stronger sanctions, such as attorney fees. And this is a warning that if you raise these issues again, we're going to do that. I'm paraphrasing, but that's basically what they're saying. And you can read it; it's very strong wording. The whole thing is just a vicious rant against Bruce and Ellen.
Hi, Vincent. I think I'm back.
Okay.
I have to reset the network. We do have some line problems here on the company line. So hopefully the reset guys will clear up a lot of those problems I was having. I just restarted everything. So hopefully we're going to be fine and we're back. You know, when you talk about all these issues with the court, what it really sounds is that the government is using their controlled agents within the courts. That's what it appears to those of us observing.
Yeah, well, I think the government itself is. I agree. I might phrase it differently. I think there's certain powers that are controlling the government and the courts and basically the rest of society, but that's another story. But yes, I think that these courts are being controlled. And by the way, the Chief Justice at this court, at the Federal Second Circuit Court of Appeals, is also Jewish. He's Dennis Jacobs, and not just Jewish, but he's very involved in Jewish community. He took this trip over to Israel. And he was meeting with Knesset members and all this stuff. So it's like the whole system is like kind of rigged, you know?
And much to we, the Americans' detriment. Now, when they talk about sanctions, double sanctions, first of all, I found it ludicrous, really, Vincent, that they would use the charge of anti-Semitism as part of a legal brief. It's like, what is wrong with you guys? Now, what can we, the people, do? Really, to get rid of these agents within the government that clearly are looking to harm American interests.
Well, you know, that's a very...
It can be done. I mean, this is where we have to start to focus now. It's clear it's rigged.
Yeah.
What can the American people do to get rid of these people?
Well, it's a very good question, and it's actually not so easy to answer. But one answer that I've heard that I think strikes a chord with me is to stay on one issue, and in particular the issue of 9/11. When you get into what's plaguing society as a whole, it is so monstrous, it's just hard to even get your mind around it, and it's very hard for people to believe it. So I think one way to deal with this is to take one issue like 9/11, and if you just keep pushing and pushing on that, and many people are, but not only pushing that we've been lied to, but that Israel is behind 9/11, I think if that could dawn on America, then I think people might start to wake up. There's a very good video on Christopher Boland's. Are you familiar with Christopher Boland's work?
Yes, I am. He does some good
work. Yeah. His website is boland.com, BOLLYN.com. And it's either at the top or very near the top. He just posted a new video, not made by him. It's made by somebody else. It deals with the whole issue of Israel 9/11 in only 14 minutes. It's very concise. I think that would be a good tool to give to people to help wake them up about that. But in terms of, that's what I would suggest is to keep pushing the Israeli angle on 9/11, and maybe, you know, eventually people are going to get it. But it's a dire situation in this country. I mean, we're going to be, they want to drag us into a war with Iran. They want to, you know, it's just, it just seems like people are believing in a whole belief system created by the media that's just detached from reality, and it's getting more and more separated from reality. That's the way I would describe things. And it's very dangerous. It's not just 9/11. On numerous issues, people are just in a world that's created by the media that's just very far from reality, and it's very dangerous. And I think we're very gullible. And when they tell us, you know, that the next false flag attack happens, Iran attacked our ship or whatever, then the Americans may fall into line and say, all right, let's attack Iran. It's a very dangerous situation.
Yeah, I think, but people are waking up to the idea of the crisis actors, the false flags, and one of the greatest, largest false flags was, of course, 9/11.
Yes.
By far. You know, it's funny, just a side issue, Vincent.
Yeah.
You've got reports now out of Syria that's saying that all of those protests in Syria,
yeah,
that they used to set off this revolution, they were, yeah, using crisis actors.
Wow.
The same protesters were showing up at different cities with the same messages, and then they had their own crisis actors / intelligence people getting in the way, making problems. And
Literally,
the whole thing was staged in Syria. And now that's actually starting to come into the consciousness here in the Middle East. So it looks like people are really starting to figure out that the realities are being crafted, and they're all based on really Hollywood, which is this Jewish-controlled contraption.
Well, I hadn't heard this. That's very interesting. It certainly wouldn't surprise me. I certainly have been reading in the alternative media, not in the mainstream media, in the alternative media, that all this, quote, revolutionaries, unquote, they're really just being funded by the United States and Israel or supported by them. I've certainly heard that. But likewise, tying into what you said just a minute ago, is like we just had this Sandy Hook shooting in a school, and then we had this Boston Marathon bombing. These are totally bogus, contrived events. As I saw one video where it showed one of the crisis actors from the Boston Marathon. She was the same actress as the one who was in the Sandy Hook incident. But the problem is, yes, you're right that more and more people are waking up, and it's like when they do one of these, like immediately you get all these videos of people exposing it. But the problem is that's a minority. The majority of the people are just like sheeple, and they believe what the mainstream media says. So it's worrisome. Yes, you're right that many people are waking up, but we need a lot of people to wake up, and I don't know if enough people will wake up quickly enough. I hope they will.
Now, to me, Vincent, from a strategic point of view, we need to look at where the linchpins are. You know, what do we need to hammer home to cause the floodgate or to open up a potential for the floodgate? Clearly, you guys have got a great story with this Hellerstein. Hellerstein is a major, major asset working for the Israelis.
Yeah.
By all observation, as we observe this case, he's an agent working on behalf of Israel and the government to keep things covered up. So clearly, from an intelligence point of view, Hellerstein needs to be, people need to look at him. Not just look at him, but look at him in a real, serious intelligence way. Has anybody thought of using social media, bringing protests, sitting outside his house, screaming at him, put the bullhorn on him and say, you know, Israel agent out, that type of stuff? Have you heard of anything like that happening or being called on?
I haven't heard of that. I have not heard of that. I certainly think that's a perfectly good idea. I know that in the once you get out of the mainstream media, there are a lot of people who are talking about Hellerstein in the alternative media. And again, there's many of those articles. You can find some of those articles on the website, MarianiLawsuit.com. And there's people who have written about the April Gallup. No, That's a separate, there were separate judges there. But I haven't heard of anyone doing bullhorn type stuff. There's an organization called change.org, if I'm not mistaken, and they go around doing stuff, but I haven't heard of them doing that for Hellerstein. I would certainly support that, but the problems are...
It's a huge issue,
and it's just...
Television studios to the news editors, because you know there's no way that the Jewish community, there's no way that Mr. Lechti, this didn't happen without organization. You know, there's no way.
Yeah.
Knowing how the media works. This was planned. This was all part of a marketing plan.
Sure.
To go out there and get rid of this attorney and make it as uncomfortable as possible for him.
Oh, to get rid of Bruce Lichty. Yeah, they've been against him for from the beginning, because they can see he's not playing ball with them. You know, he's actually trying to find the truth. He's actually trying to get a trial. He's actually trying to get discovery, and they hate that. And so they immediately turned against him.
Now, from your experience, then, Hellerstein's a problem.
Yes.
Okay, from an intelligence point of view. If we're working in the intelligence world, who do we look at? Okay, we definitely look at Hellerstein. Who else would we look at? Who should we look at? If you have intelligence people out there listening to this show, who would you be focused on?
Again, I think the problem is riddled from the White House down to our educational system. It's really hard to say how you do this. Christopher Bolin's book is a good starting point. That's a good thing. Christopher Bolin, he wrote a book called I'm blanking on his name. He sells. How can I blank on his book? Anyway,
fast, but
I can't even get online right now because of my thing. But anyway, Christopher Bolin's book, his website is bolin.com. It exposes how throughout every part of 9/11, including the media, including the people who cleaned up, the companies which got rid of the metal debris when the towers collapsed, the demolition companies, it was all Jewish. There were Jewish plants, Israeli or Jewish plants everywhere along the line. At every crucial juncture, there are Jewish agents, and so maybe that's a good thing is to urge people to read his book.
Christopher Bolin wrote it.
Yeah, can you go to his website and get the name? I can't even get online.
Sure, Christopher Bolin, huh?
Yeah.
I'll take a look at that. Christopher. Well, you gotta love the internet nowadays, you know?
Yeah.
Bolin.com is the website, everybody. You can go to Bolin.com.
His book is offered on the left hand side.
Bookstore.
Yeah.
And we're now pulling it up. We got some very high speed internet. I think my router had problems earlier today. Just so I rebooted it. It looks like we're okay now. Don't see a book here, man. Quickly. I see articles, but no book.
On the left-hand side, you see...
No, I don't see.
I don't know why I'm blanking, but anyway...
Go to bolin.com.
He's written two books, but they're both a pair. The first book... that's a very good, concise summary of how Israel has been involved every step of the way on 9/11.
I think it's 9/11, solving 9/11.
Solving 9/11.
Bolin available on paperback for $24.99.
That's right. Solving 9/11, the deception that changed the world. That's it. You saved me.
I see it. He wrote a children's book too, but that wasn't it.
Oh, you're right. He wrote it. Yeah, that's not it. So that's a good introduction. You know, what else people can do, exposing 9/11, reading his book, that's what I would suggest people to do. You can also support Bruce and Ellen. I mean, they're really being squeezed right now. If you support...
I've mentioned the fact that you have what nobody else has, and that's an asset, and that's the power of attorney.
That's right.
Not the power of attorney, the power of subpoena.
That's right. That's why one reason why they wanted to... There were 100 cases. They shut down every single one. Every single one was prevented from coming to trial. Ellen's is the last one, and she's still hanging on. She's still trying to get some kind of justice in the courts, and they are getting squeezed from many sides. They're also getting a lot of negative media attention suddenly. If you want to support them, that would be very much appreciated. You can donate on the website, MarianiLawsuit.com, MarianiLawsuit.com, MarianiLawsuit.com. There's a donation page. They would both very much appreciate it. If we get enough, they may be able to do another petition for writ of certiorari to the U.S. Supreme Court. That's not a definite
decision. How much does these cost? I mean, if you're going to take something to the Supreme Court, what's it cost?
It was $11,000 last time, that, and a lot of that was just the fees. He paid like $4,000 or $5,000 just in fees to get. You have to have you get a company to actually publish the brief as a booklet, and then you send it to them, and it has to be in a special format. I think it was like $4,000 he paid for that, or something like that. But anyway, it was $11,000, and then $2,500 for a reply brief. If we could get that much money, they might do a second petition for writ of certiorari. But they could definitely use the help regardless. They would very much appreciate it.
Do you have a telephone number if anybody wants to donate privately, you know, a little bit more cash?
Well, there's my...
Is it available on the website, or you want to give something out?
You can actually find my phone number on there somewhere. It's... should I give my phone number out on the air, you think?
Okay, I mean, you're raising money, right?
I guess so. All right. It's 413-824-7916. That's my personal phone number. It's my cell phone
number.
Anybody
that has large dollars you want to raise, call Vincent directly and give him a call and see what you can do to help. Because really what we have here is the last power subpoena left. And with the power subpoena, everybody, you can put people under oath. Force them to answer. And if they don't answer correctly, you can start to smash them. And that's the last thing that these guys behind 9/11 want, is the power of subpoena to be used against them. It's the one thing they're afraid of.
Yeah, and you can also depose people, and you can also create an official record of evidence, and you can subpoena documents, and all of this, they want to shut this all down. You're right. It's like what the attorney generals of should be doing, what the federal attorney general should be doing, what he will never do, and what state attorney generals could be doing, but they're not doing. Private citizens can do with a civil lawsuit, and Ellen does have the power to do that if this case can get off the ground, but they're doing everything they can to shut it down. And again, let me just add, Bruce has been representing Ellen for 5 years. Neither of them have gotten any. They recently got a small amount of money, I think, but other than that disbursement, they have not gotten any money, to the best of my knowledge, from out of this settlement. So, you know, they're pressed financially.
Sure, and to those of you who don't know the law business, it's expensive to file all of these documents and papers and do the time it takes to really do it professionally. It's not an easy task. It does take money to run these. And, you know, when you're talking about Jewish issues, Vincent, they'll raise hundreds of millions of dollars. And here we have somebody that has the power to start to depose and everything. We can't even raise $20,000 to go help fight what is essentially a monolithic beast.
Right, right. Well, yeah, I should add that in the last fundraising effort, people were generous, but we have to rely so heavily on alternative media. The mainstream media is not going to give us any press coverage. We were helped by Richard Gage and his organization. What's his organization? Scholars for 9/11 Truth. I'm blanking on everything today. Anyway,
well, now that I can hear you and I'm not cutting out every 30 seconds, I'm not going to blank as much.
Okay, but we were helped by certain alternative media organizations, and we were able to get through just individual donations. We got about half of it, and then several wealthy people came in and they offered to make up the last bit. So we were able to get enough last time. But it's hard work. It's very hard work. And I'm not getting paid a penny, by the way. I don't get one penny
from
this.
You do this out of volunteerism because you see what's going on, as you discussed earlier.
Yeah, well, I see a lot of other people like you helping out and other organizations, and I thought I should be trying to help as well to bring the truth out. It's in the interest of the whole country that the truth come out, and maybe of the whole world. So,
indeed. You know, here we are mired in a war, 47.5 million people on food stamps, and we're supposed to worry about whether a judge thinks someone's anti-Semitic. That's absolutely insane.
Yes, yes, yes.
All right. Hey, Vincent, we're out of time, man.
Okay. Well, listen, I very much appreciate you having me on. You seem like a real good guy, and from what I know about your show, it's a good show. And-